Welcome back to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Information regarding the resources referenced on today's program can be found at www.knowingthetruth.org. Now, here to continue with today's program is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome back into the second half of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. I mentioned that we're going to be talking about the debate last night. Before I talk about that, let me just very quickly remind you about an upcoming conference that's going to be coming just 9 days away now. And the conference is called Biblical Personhood and Gender Confusion Conference. It's taking place February 14th through the 16th, 2014, of course, in Seneca, South Carolina. So very close to here. Yesterday on the broadcast, I spoke to one of the speakers. Rosaria Butterfield was my guest on the program yesterday. She wrote a book called The Secret Thoughts of an Unlikely Convert, an English Professor's Journey into the Christian Faith. And that journey was from lesbianism. She was an avowed lesbian and very active in the lesbian community. And then God intervened and saved her never-dying soul and revealed himself to her. And the Lord used a pastor and his wife to do that. The story is very interesting. And she's going to be there speaking at the event coming up. The only thing I want to tell you about the event is you need to register as soon as possible because they're making plans on the actual venue where this is going to be held. And so they're looking at which venue would be best, and that is determined by the number of people coming to the conference. So you need to register. The registration will be closed at the end of this week. So if you want to go, it's going to be Rosaria Butterfield, Richard Phillips, and Derek Thomas will be speaking at that event, as well as Bob Anderson, the closing event. I think he's going to close the session out in May, and then is also preaching on that subject on Sunday morning as well. You can go out to my website. That's www.sermonaudio.com/knowingthetruth. There's an event posted there. You can click on the event. If you register, it'll take you right to the event as it's listed out on the Alliance of Confessing Evangelicals website, and you can go out there as well in order to register. So please get out there and register as soon as possible. I'm going to try to come back to that by the end of the program today, give you one more mention of that before we close it out. Let's go ahead and quickly play a little clip from the from the debate last night, and then we'll go to the phone line and see what's on some of the folks' minds calling in today about that debate. First, here's the clip.
Mr. Nye, the next question is for you. How did the atoms that created the Big Bang get there?
This is the great mystery. You've hit the nail on the head. No, this is so, what was before the Big Bang? This is what drives us. This is what we want to know. Let's keep looking. Let's keep searching. When I was young, it was presumed that the universe was slowing down. It's a big bang, except it's in outer space, there's no air, so it goes out like that. And so people presumed that it would slow down, that the universe, the gravity especially, would hold everything together, and maybe it's going to come back and explode again. And people went out, and the mathematical expression is the universe flat? This is a mathematical expression. Will the universe slow down asymptotically without ever stopping? Well, in 2004, Saul Perlmutter and his colleagues went looking for the rate at which the universe was slowing down. Let's go out and measure it. And we do it with this extraordinary system of telescopes around the world, looking at the night sky, looking for supernovae. These are standard brightness that you can infer distances with. And the universe isn't slowing down. It's accelerating. The universe is accelerating in its expansion. And do you know why? Nobody knows why. Nobody knows why. And you'll hear the expression nowadays, dark energy, dark matter, which are mathematical ideas that seem to reckon well with what seems to be the gravitational attraction of clusters of stars, galaxies, and their expansion. And then isn't it reasonable that whatever is out there causing the universe to expand is here also? And we just haven't figured out how to detect it. My friend, suppose a science student from the Commonwealth of Kentucky pursues a career in science and finds out the answer to that deep question. Where did we come from? what was before the Big Bang. To us, this is wonderful and charming and compelling. This is what makes us get up and go to work every day, is to try to solve the mysteries of the universe.
And that's time. Mr. Hamm, a response?
Bill, I just want to let you know that there actually is a book out there that actually tells us where matter came from. And the very first sentence in that book says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." And really, that's the only thing that makes sense. It's the only thing that makes sense of why not just matter is here, where it came from, but why matter, when you look at it, we have information and language systems that build life, not just matter. And where did that come from? Because matter can never produce information. Matter can never produce a language system. Languages only come from intelligence. Information only comes from information.
Well, there's a clip that we played from the debate last night. I just want, before we go to the phone lines, I just want to read then my assessment of what we saw there, and I think that clip is a good graphic of that, you know, illustrates that very well. I titled my thing this morning that what we saw last night was a reasonable man versus a redeemed man. And last night I wrote this. I said, last night's debate between Bill Nye and Ken Ham. I wrote this morning, this is what I said. Last night's debate between Bill Nye and Ken Ham was the major event in the evangelical world thus far in 2014. And some people referred to it as Scopes 2, and others referred to it as the Christian Super Bowl. But whatever title you ascribe to it, I think we've got to say that the folks at Answers in Genesis should certainly be commended for pulling it off and doing such a professional job in doing it, putting on that debate. The debate was precipitated by a well-publicized statement attacking Christian parents made by Bill Nye. During an interview last year, he chided Christian parents by saying, quote, "If you want to deny evolution and live in your world, in a world that is completely inconsistent with everything we observe in the universe, that's fine. But don't make your kids do it because we need them. We need scientifically literate voters and taxpayers for the future. We need people that can, we need engineers that can build stuff and solve problems," unquote. Now, most of the general themes that were expressed by Bill Nye in that statement received a further expression and development by him in the debate last night. It is a demeaning and somewhat chilling statement, I find it to be, anyways, saying, in essence, if I was to rephrase it or read between the lines as to what Bill Nye is saying, it's saying, in essence, quote, "You people are deniers of what the rest of us see so clearly, and you live in your own little world, a world that is completely out of touch with reality, and you don't fit into our society. We will just ignore you, but we want your kids. We want your kids to contribute by voting for the things that we think are important and by helping us pay for those things via their taxes. If you teach your children to reject our scientific approach, you will be hindering us from solving problems, the real world problems," unquote. I think that statement and the associated statements during the debate reveal something to us. They reveal a staunch adherence to humanism and the associated philosophy of rationalism. What we witnessed last night was a conflict between those two opposing and irreconcilable worldviews, one that is man-centered and one that is God-centered. Humanism is the pursuit of a purely human interest and ideals that is usually considered apart from and antagonistic to any idea of God and his intervention in human affairs. Rationalism, which is a word that's a Latin word derived from the word reason, it elevates human reason as the supreme and final arbiter in every realm of human experience. And empirical rationalism looks to the scientific method as the exclusive source of knowledge. And in both of these two systems, the supernatural is viewed as being unreasonable, as Bill Nye mentioned numerous times last night. The problem with human reason is that, along with every other aspect of our humanity, it was corrupted by the fall. This is what theologians refer to the noetic effects of the fall. That's a term. The noetic refers to the mind or our ability to reason. The fall so ruined man's mind that he is no longer has the ability to come to the correct conclusions about things, and the big things being this. He can't come to the correct conclusion about God. He doesn't come to the correct conclusion about himself, and he doesn't come to the correct conclusions about the world around him. And without the supernatural intervention of God, he is doomed to often or to consistently come to these incorrect conclusions. So what we witnessed last night was we witnessed one man, Ken Ham, acknowledging the impact of the fall and his subsequent reliance upon the revelation of God. And we witnessed the other man, Bill Nye, rejecting that notion and declaring his independence from God. That's my take on what we saw there last night. I think it comes down to both of those two views. It comes down to a rational man or a reasonable man, as Bill Nye called himself last night, and a redeemed man that I think Ken Ham owned by giving the gospel out many times, talking about us as being sinners. Well, I'd love to have your opinion on it. I talked myself right out of one of the folks that was on the phone line waiting. But, Greg, if you want to call back, we'll put you at the top of the list there. I'd be happy to hear your take on what took place last night. What was your assessment of what Bill Nye said and what Ken Han said during the debate? I was sitting there watching the debate with some friends, and the general impression that that we got during the debate was they thought that Bill Nye was not as convincing as they thought he would be. He thought that he would have more to say, that it would be much more convincing by looking at the data and actually have something more compelling in order to say that would be more difficult for Ken Ham to overcome. But that just wasn't the case. In fact, a lot of times during the debate, he seemed to devolve, if I could use that word, devolve into kind of name-calling and, making some derogatory comments about what was taking place. I thought Albert Mohler did a great job, as he does so often, of course, as talking about what were the issues related or how he interpreted the debate last night. I've got his article here open before me. I was going to try to skip some of his introductory comments. He said, let me see if I could pick it up right here. But if Bill Nye had launched the attack, he did not arrive at the debate in a defensive mode. A protege of the late Carl Sagan and the current CEO of the Planetarian Society, let me interject there. Remember what Carl Sagan said in his probably his most famous work called The Cosmos. It was a series that was shown, I think, during the 70s is when it came out, but it was a video series called The Cosmos. And in the very beginning of it, some of the opening statements, he says that the cosmos is all there is and all there was and all there ever be. He ascribes eternality to material items themselves, to the cosmos. And so for him, all of the answers are all within the box. If you've seen the Truth Project, you know what I'm referring to there. All the answers are to be found within this closed ecosystem of the universe. And we can't look outside of the box or outside of that closed system in order to find any answers. That was Carl Sagan's notion. Now, he said during The Cosmos that we will follow the data wherever it leads. That was his statement during the video series. But it wasn't true, because when the data led them to look outside the box to see that there was a designer that was clearly evident to the things inside the box, He wasn't willing to go there. He wouldn't go to the supernatural. He wouldn't go outside of the naturalistic view or the naturalistic world. So although he makes that statement to say, you know, we are very objective in our viewpoint, we're very reasonable, we're willing to look outside, in practice, they're not willing to look outside. Now, I don't know if you picked this up in last night's debate, and I wish I had the clip or even the quote exactly that was made by Bill Nye. But at one point during the debate, he talked about science, and then he interjected the idea that design was certainly seen in many of the things here in this world. He gave one explanation for it where he just kind of said, you know, it doesn't necessarily point to a designer. It's really just in the evolutionary process. It appears that it was designed, but it really isn't. That was one explanation. But at one point, he introduced the idea of science fiction. Do you remember that? During the debate, it was, you know, it was just a little statement that he made. But what he was referring to is that many of these naturalistic scientists, many of the people that are in the same camp as Bill Nye, they are now saying that, yes, there is design seen in many of the things here in this world, and it came from outside of this planet. In other words, he didn't use the word last night because right away when they introduced this, it seemed so ridiculous, but it basically came from aliens. This is where they're at. The little green men. When you're in a debate and your opponent is now saying that little green men have left this evidence here, you know you've got them, right? We have nothing to be ashamed of in the creationist viewpoint. This is where they're at. Little green men have come here and implanted in the things that we see. They are the intelligence. It's aliens. That's who the intelligence is. And that is the view of Dawkins and others. If you watched Expelled, you saw that at the end of the movie Expelled, where Ben Stein presses him on the issue of design. And in the end, he says that it's aliens that have brought this design here. So Albert Mohler goes on in his article that I just wanted to interject couple of those thoughts. He said, Ken Ham is a veteran debater on the issues of origins. Actually, Ken doesn't do that many debates, actually, by his own admission. He is a communicator, but he is not a debater per se. He really feels that he hasn't really done that many debates, but he was clearly prepared for the debate. He says that Ham's arguments were tight and focused, and his demeanor was uniformly calm and professional. The format allowed for a full expression of both of the arguments that were there. I thought right away in the very beginning of the debate, when Ken showed the other scientists, you know, like the fella that actually created MRI equipment, you know, when he showed him speaking and then him saying, well, I'm a six-day creationist, he completely annihilated what Nye had said, that anybody who believes, which he kept calling Ken Ham's view, which was that derogatory part that I was talking about, anybody who believes in the creationist view can't possibly contribute to the scientific community. Ken Ham blew that out of the water right away by having the experienced, well-known, well-educated, innovative scientists come on and speak for themselves. They completely destroyed Nye's argument on that central point. Albert Mohler continues then in his article. He says the central question to the debate was this: is creation a viable model of origins in today's modern scientific era? Ham stuck to the question tenaciously. Nye, on the other hand, tried to personalize the debate and kept changing the question from creation to Ken Ham's creationism. But Ham was unfazed, and he kept to his argument. Yeah, we kept saying that We were glad that Ken Ham was doing the debating, because I would have been much more tempted to take the bait and to go off onto that tangent that he kept trying to drive that. But I thought Ken did a great job of sticking with the main points. As the debate began, it was clear that Ham and Nye were not did not even agree on definitions. The most friction on definition came when Nye rejected Ham's distinction between the historical science and the observational science out of hand. But I thought that that was key, that definition, you know, to the debate, that he was basically said, you know, you're using this word science in a couple of different ways. When you use it to talk about observational science, we say amen. And not only do we say amen, but I just played a clip, Ken Ham could say, from people who have been innovative in that type of science. And historically, that's been the case for Christian scientists. Science, we're not against science, true science. True science actually backs up the Bible. It reinforces what the Bible says. We're not afraid of it. We enjoy it. We're many Christian scientists have historically been there and continue to be there. There's many Christian scientists today. What we're against is this philosophical approach to science, where you are looking at things where you can't use the scientific method, and then you're making your own claims and saying that that is science. That is not science. When you are looking at something in the distant past where you can't, you weren't there, you couldn't have observed it, and you can't reproduce it again in a laboratory. And yet, even though you can't do those basic elements of true science, you are still willing to say that you are using a scientific method in order to come up with those things. So I do think there needs to be a distinction in these terms, and the terms need to be more clear as to what you are actually doing in that process. So I thought that that was a very important part of the debate. Albert Mohler goes back, Nye's main presentation contained a clear rejection of biblical Christianity. Yes, it did. At every turn. In fact, he ends up being pretty derogatory about the Christian. Remember, a number of times he said, not the people in this room, you know, but the people outside of here, okay? So again, even at one point he talked about not the people in Kentucky, you know, but the people, the broader people, you know, the elite. I don't know if that was a direct slam against Kentucky itself, that, you know, being backwards or something like that. Do you remember the statement that he made about the medication? And he said that, you know, if you don't believe about this certain element that was involved in the making of this medication, that you can't get this medication. And then he said, I want you to get this point very clearly. He emphasized it and underlined it and said, listen to what I'm saying to you, people here. In Kentucky, you cannot get this medication. In other words, what he is saying is he's ratcheting this up to say that the Christians not just should be marginalized, but the Christians need to be confronted. And they need to be confronted because their view of God and their view of not buying into what we're saying here is science is starting to have direct ramifications on the way that you live your life. You're not going to get the technology that you want because of these Christians. You're not going to get the medications that you need because of these Christians. That's what he's saying here. And so I thought it was very telling. That's why I say that it's all based upon his earlier response where he's chiding Christian parents and he's telling them, you know, give us your kids. Okay, you know, we'll marginalize you, but give us your kids. But he's going further and saying, you won't give us your kids. You're teaching them this stuff to think critically about what we're saying. And that is going to hamper the way that we want to live our lives. Hey, it's getting serious here, my friends. I preached this past week about the faith of Abel. We're going through Hebrews chapter 11 and the people that are mentioned there. Now, Abel's not only the first person that is mentioned there as truly worshiping God. He's not only the first person in the apostles' list that is given to us by faith. But notice this. Abel is the first martyr as well. Cain didn't just say, hey, this guy's got a different way of worshiping, and I'm just going to marginalize him. Cain kills Abel. You know, he takes his life. He can't put up with it. And we're going to see it again here. Just a couple people down the list here. We're going to see, we're looking at the worship of faith, first of all, with Abel. Then we're going to look at the walk of faith with Enoch. And then we're going to look at the witness of faith with Noah. And remember with Noah, you know, Noah, by what he was doing, it condemned the world. The world was condemned by what he did. And we're seeing that same thing here. Remember, there was always animosity from the very beginning. There is inherent animosity between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. So not only is there just a disagreement here in these worldviews, but the Lord warned us, the Lord Jesus Christ warned us, that if they hated me, they're going to hate you. And I think that some of the elements of what we saw there was a hatred for the people of the church, of the people of God. And they're starting to ratchet up this animosity between it, that, you know, what you believe is starting to impact the way that we live, and we're not going to put up with that. And I saw elements of that at the in this debate last night. You know, somebody said, I wish I had the exact quote before me, but they said, you know, it'll start where there is just some tolerance for our views and a marginalizing of our views. But then the quote ended this way. But at the end of all this, there are gallows. You know, this is where we're going with this whole thing. They're not going to put up with the idea if they feel that we are hampering the way that people live. Hey, our own Supreme Court, right? This is not some sort of little view off to the side. The Supreme Court said in their decision about what we thought about what traditional marriage was all about, it deemed us to be enemies of the human race. That was the way it was worded, enemies of the human race. When you have the highest court in the land saying that you are enemies of the human race, you can tell that something is switched here, not just from being marginalized, that you people don't have anything to say in the public square of ideas and about policy and so forth, but now you have become an impediment to us doing what we want to do. We want to do certain things. We want certain types of voters. We want certain types of taxpayers. And when you stop that from taking place, you have now began to impede the way that we want to live our lives, and we won't put up with it. I thought that that was elements of that were in that debate last night as well. And that it's getting to be a little bit chilling in the responses that we're getting from the world. And I think we need to, as Christians, we need to understand that and acknowledge that right at the very beginning, and then double down on what Ken was saying there. It all comes down to the authority of God's word, doesn't it? You know, we believe God's word, and we'll unashamedly stand upon that word. That's why I say here at the close of each broadcast, I say this: Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We'll see you next time.
You've been listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Travelers Rest. For more information about the church and radio ministry, visit us on the web at knowingthetruth.org.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or Clear Channel Communications.